Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Autastic, a comedian's guide to autism. My name is Graham Kay. I have an autistic brother, younger brother, and over there is Kirk Smith.
Woo! I'm excited. Kirk's... I have a severely autistic son.
Ooh, I'm excited. That's two kind of unrelated things.
People usually don't open with that.
No one's ever said that before in one sentence.
I love my son dearly.
You do love your son.
But the main focus isn't the autism. That's probably not what I love most about him. He's just a sweet, sweet boy.
Yeah. He seems like a really sweet guy. I've never met him. But anyway, if you are new to this podcast, that's what it's about. We find a lot of autism literature and media out there is a little doom and gloom. And we both have been dealing with it
in our
lives for almost two decades. So
it's just our take.
It's our take. We love our family, and we just talk about it. We don't know what we're talking about most of the time. We're not scientists.
We could have named this Two Idiots Guide to Autism.
Yep.
We thought about it.
Yep, it'd be more accurate. But we're learning a lot, which is what I like about this podcast, is we learn a lot about the autism world, and I think, you know, hopefully it affects our loved ones positively. This is basically like forced research for us.
Kind of, yeah. It's forcing us to become nicer people.
Yeah. but anyway, today is a special episode. They're all special. Today, I'm very excited. We're going to do a focus on technology. There's a lot of, as you all know, new applications, things out there that help autistic people with autism communicate and sort of unlock their communication skills, allow them to grow, allow their brains to grow, allow them to teach us what it's like to be them. And this is very exciting. We're on the cusp of something really big here, and these applications and new technologies are growing really rapidly. And
a lot's changed in the last 10 years, seriously.
Yeah, what it's going to mean.
But it's exciting.
It's very exciting. So far, it means great things. What spurred us on to do an episode like this was a video released by Apple, produced by Apple. There was two short videos.
It's about Dylan.
Dylan's voice and one's Dylan's path, I believe.
Yeah.
And both of them have millions of views.
So this was making the rounds. I get this forwarded to me by a few people. And to be honest,
we'll post it on our Facebook.
Yeah, we're posting it now. But to be honest, I get a little skeptical sometimes because you get sent a lot of stuff and maybe they catch you on a bad day and you think, you know, you want something to have a little bit of...
It's this corporation tugging on my heartstrings to make money.
Right, so you get a little hesitant. But this video, I really... connected with the kids, makes these noises like my son. And sometimes I feel like they whitewash a little bit where they try to gloss over some of the harder things. Mm-hmm. And so this kid I don't want to say that he's in the severe, but he doesn't really talk. And he doesn't, you know, he does a lot of the noise repetitions that my son does. And so I really connected with it. Freaking things made me cry like three times.
I watched it and on my phone and over on Kirk was beside me. And he was saying, like, oh, my son makes that noise. My son makes that noise. And I wasn't looking at Kirk. I was looking at the video. And I looked up after the video was done, and Kirk had a little tear in his eye. And he's like, stupid video.
Stupid video. It's like the third time. Trying to make me cry. Freaking Apple.
But it's a great video because... it shows you and sort of showed me that I have a prejudice. I have a prejudice towards people with autism that I didn't know I had. I assume that if you're clicking and making these noises, that what's going on behind there is not as developed as what's going on in my brain in terms of being able to understanding how the world works and communication and everything. And the video is basically this boy who is nonverbal completely, and he's using these applications to communicate and deliver a very powerful, moving, really well-written speech.
By
a clearly very intelligent person.
Articulate, communicating the thought. Yeah,
yeah. And it was beautiful. And anyway, so what we wanted to do was talk to the people who developed this software. Why do they do it? How do they do it? How does it work? And
One quick thing is, and you can see where the software is, Apple put out this page called Voices of Autism. Mm-hmm. We're going to post that on our thing. So the links to all the videos are there. There's also a link to our podcast. And you can see the two videos of Dylan.
Yeah. So we actually, our podcast is featured by Apple on the iTunes store under the Voices of Autism page. It's Autism Awareness Month. So it's been really huge for us. It's been really great. It's a huge honor. And while we were doing that, we noticed that there's all these applications that is also there as well that you could you could see. And Kirk did some good old-fashioned reporting. Some research, and he found the gentleman who is responsible for some of the top three communication applications that are developed and available to people.
This gentleman has a very interesting background. He'll cover a little bit in the interview, but he had a personal connection to a man who got injured, became paralyzed from the neck down, and quit his job as a PhD and had a
environmental studies.
And develop some software to help his buddy talk and be able to use Acrobat. Adobe Picture. Off the air, I think he told us he used it so his friend could become a graphic designer. His friend was paralyzed, and now a lot of autistic people use this software. And we thought it'd be great to just talk to him about it. And I think it's important to be exposed. All this stuff's not going to work for everybody, but it can't hurt to be exposed to these things.
Yeah. So here's our interview, and. He's all the way in Holland, and Kirk cannot say his last name. It's pretty hilarious. So here's our interview.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. We've got a special guest today, David.
I'll help you with the last name.
Help me out, please.
Niemeyer. How'd I do, David?
Perfect.
See? All right.
Graham is the word last name, the last name.
I'm the only person on this podcast who can read last names. Kirk grew up in Central America, so he can only read Spanish last names.
Latin last names I'm fine with. It's all phonetic. It's all very simple.
Sounds like perfect collaboration.
It is. It really is. David, we're very excited to have you on the podcast. We appreciate you taking the time. I know there's, an 8-hour or an 8-hour time difference from Los Angeles.
David is in Holland. Is that right, David?
Yes, I'm in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, great.
Lovely town. Been there. So I'm just bragging, I guess.
The reason we wanted to have David on is David founded a company that has created several apps. It's called AssistiveWare, and he's created several apps that are used by the autism community, and he created these. His entry into it was because he had a very personal connection to somebody who became disabled. David, why don't you tell us your background a little bit, if you don't mind?
Yeah, sure. So by background, I'm actually an environmental geographer, but I had a friend who in the mid-90s had a car accident, broke his neck, and he needed a way to access his computer.
Mm-hmm.
I developed some software for him to get that access, and it became clear that there were many other people who could benefit.
Which is amazing because your education and background has nothing to do with that.
Nope. I always say the accident changed his life completely, and then he changed my life completely.
That's beautiful.
And then you've changed the lives of thousands of other people. It's amazing.
Yeah,
his accident has benefited thousands of other people.
I kind of wonder about that. You know, my son became autistic. I'd never heard about it. And now I'm on the road talking about autism every week. And if my son hadn't been autistic, there's no way I would do that. Because it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Life takes interesting paths sometimes.
So now you have several what you describe as communication apps, which are used by the autistic community. I believe you said earlier to us off air that it was 30% of the people who use these apps are autistic. There are three main apps. Do you want to give us a brief description of three and the name as well?
Yeah, sure. So the first app is Spictello. It's a visual storytelling application. It allows you to quickly put together a story that combines pictures or video and text or text-to-speech, recorded audio, and it allows you to either share a story about something that happened that you enjoyed or something about that you care about with others very easily. It's kind of like a mini PowerPoint, but very simple to use. Or you can use it for what's called social stories, where you use it, for example, to prepare someone for a trip to the dentist.
Right.
By showing them pictures so that they can kind of go through that multiple times and get an idea of what's going to happen. And that can reduce the anxiety significantly. The other two, they are about communication for people who cannot speak. And there's a large proportion of people on the autism spectrum who has challenges with that, with communication. One is called Proloquo2Go.
Right.
It's actually the first app that ever appeared on iPhone for communication. It is symbol supported so that someone who doesn't read and write can use it to communicate. You communicate by pressing buttons with symbols and text on them, and then they speak. And then we have Proloquo for Text, which is a text-based communication solution that allows someone who does read and write to, in a very efficient way, communicate using their iPhone or iPad. There's all kinds of features to speed up the communication process.
And so people have sort of graduated from the first Proloquo to text.
Yes, yeah. Well, what we see is that young kids, maybe age 2-3, already start using, for example, Proloquo to go. But as they develop literacy skills, they move to Proloquo for Text because it's really optimized around typing and therefore way more efficient. Plus, if you know the 26 letters of the alphabet, you can say anything you want, which is extremely powerful.
So you would press a button and it would make a sound? You would press like A and it would make like an ah sound? Is that how that
works? No, it's basically you type with the keyboard, you have word prediction, sentence prediction, you can have it speak after yours, every sentence is finished, or you can just press the play button and play back, you know, a couple of sentences that you wrote. You have sentences you can store, like in a phrase bank, to quickly have access to. There's lots of features that give you really quick access to the things you want to say. And then both apps, we also have Apple Watch apps for them that give you access to some of the things you either say very regularly and want to be able to say without grabbing your iPhone, or things that you want like in an emergency.
And
like for a child, like it could be something like, you know, please call my parents. Or it might
I like
be
that a lot.
Like I understand everything you say, but I cannot speak.
Oh.
Which, you know, can be a really important message, because when someone doesn't speak, we already very quickly have the idea that they're not very smart because they're not answering questions.
Right.
So being able to communicate that very quickly and then get your iPhone out or get your iPad can be really helpful.
There is a video that Apple released. It's almost a short film, 2 minutes long, called Dylan's Voice. It's got millions of views already. It put a tear in my eye and
made me cry again. And I already watched it.
We watched a stupid video. We watched before this before you called, before we called you, David, and Kirk cried and then got angry at himself. And it's a lovely video, and it features a boy with autism, and he's giving a speech in front of his school for graduation, and he's very profound, and you would have no idea. I grew up with autism in my family, and it is still, when I see someone with autism, I have almost a prejudice.
Like a preconceived notion of what they're able to do. Yeah.
Of yep. what's going on in their mind.
Yeah.
That they're not understanding, and they can't communicate or express themselves to the level that I can. And then what makes this so heartfelt, and it's almost a guilt that comes over you, is that this young man is a terrific writer and a terrific speaker.
He has something to say.
And he's trapped. He's yeah. trapped. And the app that he's using, which one was he using in that video?
He is using, I think, in the video, I don't know exactly what app it is, but he's using apps similar to Prologo for Text.
Right. So you're freeing these people from this cage that they're in.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely beautiful and amazing. And I suggest everyone watch it, just to give you our listeners out there an example of how powerful these applications are.
And I think it's important yeah. to remember, like, not to pat you too much on the back, David, but that we all really have a really strong impact on the people around us. And David sees his buddy get paralyzed. He decides, I can take action. I can do something. And now, you know, you're talking about a kid in California who has the ability, it might not be your app, but an app's very similar, if it's not yours, the ability yeah. to communicate and be freed from being trapped in his mind is, yeah, as simple as that sounds.
Yeah, no, and that's one of the key reasons we do this, because we know that everyone has something to say, mm-hmm. whether they're autistic, have Down syndrome, or cerebral palsy, or have had a stroke. And communication is one of the most essential parts of being human.
Exactly,
and
yes.
we know that people with autism have challenges there, and so what we do is we try to design the best possible apps we can to give them the tools to communicate. However, what's really important to realize for anyone who now gets excited and says, I need to buy an app for my child, for mm-hmm. example, the app is the piece of technology that with an iPad can really make a big difference, but it's also about how do you teach someone to start using this effectively? And that part is really important.
How do you do that? How is a parent...
Yeah, so
going to download this and already have an aptitude.
The download's the easy
yeah.
part.
Yeah, well, I know that, but I mean, once they do, how are they yeah. going to?
So one of the key things is that children that have a speech impairment, they learn in a way to communicate in the same way other children learn, and that is by observing and listening other people communicate in the same way that they're expected to communicate. So a young child, let's say a 1.5 years old child, has heard like hundreds of hours of people talking, and then they start to produce their first words.
Right.
For someone who cannot speak, they in a way need the example of people using an iPad with an app to communicate to them, and kind of observe and see how that's done, and then slowly start picking that up. This is what's called modeling. And mm-hmm. that's really a key part to being successful, is actually using the device to communicate with your son or your brother or your sister or whoever has...
Yeah, that makes sense. That's how you teach a kid how to go to the bathroom and the toilet. I mean, that's, yeah.
Are there any...
It's by example. Yeah. And that's a key thing to do that, and also realize that it will take time. You right. cannot expect someone to, like, in a day grasp the full idea of what everything means and how they can do this to now build the sentences they may have in their head.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time and patience. But if you look at a normally developing child, they take 1 year and a half maybe before they utter their first word.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also important to not have the expectation that someone who's maybe 5 but has never had a tool to communicate.
Yeah, we tried the generation
That's a very good point,
one
David.
iPad, yeah. and I think yeah. we're going to try it again. I think, because I think you're right. I think you think it's going to be a magic silver bullet that you just get this iPad, you hand it to the kid, and he starts to type out sentences. And it's not like that. At least in my experience, it wasn't. And so I think it is
rarely like that.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, but most of the cases, it's hard work for the child, it's hard work for the parents, hard work for the teachers. Yeah. So that's a key thing, and one of the things we are increasingly realizing and spending time on is creating materials to help people understand how they can use this in a productive way, That's the only way to really achieve or opening, in a way, the opportunity to communicate. And then once you have that, well, then people can start becoming part of society and
absolutely
take actively participate
we'll
in
have,
family life,
exactly,
et cetera.
We'll have more productive, fulfilled citizens.
Yeah, that's one of our big pushes,
exactly.
At least for my my son, is for him to be a, we talk about this all the time, be a taxpayer, to be a contributing member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
No. David, anything you want to say to our listeners? You've got.
Do you have any new applications on the that you're making right now?
Anything you're working on? You want to talk about or anything?
Yeah. So what we're currently working on is a new update of Prologopher Text.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing we're working on is continuing to improve our Prolog2Go app. We've released Spanish support recently, including bilingual. And we're now working on adding support for additional languages, because ultimately we want people to be able to communicate whatever their language is.
Right.
Yeah, you're Dutch. Don't you guys always speak like four languages each?
Yeah, but the one language we don't yet have in our own app is Dutch. So we still have some work cut out for us there.
You got German in there before Dutch. You should be ashamed of yourself.
We don't have German in there either yet.
Okay. You're forgiven.
We started with English, and then we added Spanish, and now it's time to look at some of the European languages.
All right. Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much for being on.
Why don't you try saying his last name, Kirk?
Nijmegen. Not.
Oh boy.
Okay.
You guys collaborate on
this. Yeah.
Nijmegen. I got David because it's the same as Spanish. David.
You say his first name.
David.
Niemeyer.
Hey, that's right. I mean, that sounds better.
You guys rock.
Thank you, David.
Thank
we appreciate
you so
your
much
time
for having us.
Oh, thank you. No problem.
For being on.
I'll explain to Kirk what's going on. Thank you, David. Take
all
care.
Right. Hey, take care. Bye.
I thought that was great.
He's so Dutch.
We've
developed this a lot of languages. Not Dutch, though, because it's not practical. There's only 4 million people that speak Dutch. And why would we do that? That's ridiculous. Well, it's your language. That doesn't matter. It's not practical. It doesn't make sense. All right, man. It's up to you. We do it in English. That makes the most sense. There's more people that speak English. It's so practical. I'm going to give this a try again. You know, we've tried this. And so, again, you know, part of the thing about...
You've tried this with your son.
We tried doing this. Mm-hmm. We got him an iPad. It first came out $600 back 12 years ago, which is a lot of money.
Not 12 years ago, but...
11 years ago. Something like that.
I would say 10.
Anyway, we could look it up, but we're not going to. But we tried it, mm-hmm. but we're going to try it again. Because I think... You know, my son's moved along. He's not at the same place he was when he was 7. And I bet the technology's improved. It always does.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do it with a mini iPad, though, because I think the big ones, he likes the little handheld stuff. So
easier for him to hold?
Yeah, I think he can. He kind of treats everything like it's...
indestructible.
Yeah. So he's like a medieval king. And so him swinging around a giant iPad, it's just going to hit something hard. So like a little one, it's... There's less parts. Less screen to break.
Makes sense.
You know, less square footage to hit on the corner of a refrigerator, for example.
Right.
And crush the screen.
Not that that's happened.
Yes, many times. So, we're gonna try it again. And I think the other thing is that he touched on is David touched on at the interview.
Give us his name one last time. I mean, you heard me say it. You can't.
I can't remember. What was it again?
Niemeyer.
I have to think phonetically. It's like knee, like part of the leg.
But the J is just like Spanish, right? It's a ya. Yeah.
But in Spanish, it's an H. It's a ha.
Oh.
Anyway. But he touched about this, that it's the tool is just a tool, and the key is you need to... Somebody has to train them. You know, somebody, this behavior has to be modeled and learned. And so, yeah, but I think we're at the point where we're ready.
There's one last thing I want to do. While we're slightly on the topic of names, we had someone, a listener, contact me on Instagram and say how much she loved the last episode two episodes ago with Peter. Here, I wrote down her name. She was like, don't worry, Kirk's not going to be able to, Kirk can say my name because it's phonetic.
All right, let's
and I was
see.
Like, I doubt it.
Let's see what we got.
Here, I wrote down her last name. It looks Japanese. I wrote it down. Here you go, Kirk. Supposedly, it's phonetic for you. It is.
Kuri Yasunu. Kuri Yasunu?
You did it. I'm going to shake your hand.
Phonetics.
That was amazing.
It's phonetics. Yeah. It's not bad.
Good job. All right. Well, congrats on pronouncing someone's name. That's the first.
Maybe I should move to Japan.
David.
I have to learn Japanese, though. Yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing about the apps we were just talking about. It seems like they're all sort of geared to people who are lower functioning communication wise. What was interesting to me is that in the short film, David's voice and David's path is that he seems less cognitively developed than my brother, but then with these applications, it's revealed that he is actually higher functioning than my brother. And I don't see any of these applications working for someone like my brother, because he can read and write. He writes notes all the time and he reads and communicates. So it is definitely, these apps are more geared towards people like your son.
Well, I think they're geared more towards people that are having trouble communication, that are nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, they selected somebody who...
they selected the perfect person.
Kind of, yeah. Right. Which is nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, if the person was nonverbal and, like my son, had some other issues and it's, you know, cognitively delayed or whatever else, then his communication's going to, even if you get through the communication barrier, there's going to be some other issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think the communication is the key. If you can't communicate, you can't even know what they don't know or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a step in the right direction.
Do you have any final words?
No, I'm always encouraged when people, this sounds a little corny, but when people, like David's story interests me, that he's a PhD, so he's not a slacker.
Clearly not a slacker. He's a self-taught.
Yeah. He's in West Africa, he told us, working on some environmental project. He told us off air. And he finds out his buddy, who's a magician, gets into a car accident, is paralyzed, and he decides... okay, so he's a PhD, so like the unspoken there is he makes good money, he's a successful guy, and he decides, you know what, I think I'm going to quit my job and develop software so my friend can pursue his passion. It always encourages me when people with skill and aptitude and already successful derail their lives and try to help somebody else. It always encourages me. It gives me faith in humanity. That's great, you know.
It's sort of a bigger, much more impressive version of what we're doing.
Oh, wait. Or at least much smarter, I'll tell you that. None of my sentences have ever begun with, I decided to throw away my PhD and learn how to program software from my paralyzed friend. Oh, brother.
Anyway.
But I was really, I love that.
As always, thank you so much for listening. If you're a new listener, we appreciate it. Tell your friends. Apple, thank you very much for featuring us on your homepage. We've had a huge this huge spike in listenership. We've been growing steadily, amazingly, since we put this thing, started doing this. This is our 35th episode or 36th or something like that. And we can't believe it. And then this thing came along, and it's grown even more than I could ever believe. And just want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can go to Patreon/Autastic, Patreon/Autastic. You can donate less than half the price of a cup of coffee per week. That really helps us keep doing this. Takes time, and we're both professionals, so. Anyway, that's
find us on Twitter, Graham K Comedy, yes. Kirk Smith Comedy, Facebook. Please
thank you for cutting me off from begging. I was getting depressed. I was like, oh God.
You can find it on iTunes. Please rate, review. Guys, have a great week.
Thank you so much, guys.
We love you guys.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.